You follow the leading of God and you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you'll never go wrong. Amen? He'll lead you and he'll guide you into that path that we all need to be on. Amen? But this morning, I want you to turn with me to your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. If you're jotting down some notes this morning, we're going to be speaking on clarity of vision. Amen? Clarity of vision. Something happens to an individual when Jesus prays for them. Amen? In different passages in the gospel, we see Jesus praying for people. And their lives were never the same after that. Amen? Many of you can testify this morning if we gave you an opportunity and how your life has dramatically changed ever since you allowed Jesus to come into your life. Your pastor can share, his wife can share, amen? Number of us can share here how God has been so faithful. Amen? How God has revolutionized our lives. How he has totally transformed us. And he's given us a vision and he's given us a purpose for living. You know, there's so many people today that are without purpose. They wake up in the morning and just go to work, come back home, watch TV, have dinner, go to sleep, wake up, go to work. The same thing the next day and the same after that and after that. Months go by, years go by. And he says, man, what did all this time go? Amen? But how many know that there is life after this life that we're living here on earth? Amen? But while we're living here on earth and while we are alive and we're breathing oxygen here on earth, God has given each and every one of us an individual purpose to fulfill for our lives. You know, there are many young people today without purpose, just wandering around in life, just traveling through life with no destination. Amen? They have a little saying, and the young people today have a little saying, you only live once, so do as much as you can and experience everything that you can in life. But I want you to know this morning, if you're young and you're here in church this morning, I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He wants to do great things in you, and he wants to do great things through you. I've had the privilege of being saved in this ministry at a very young age, 15 and a half, almost 16 years old. I gave my life to Jesus. I was a young little gang member there in the streets of Southern California. And two young men from Victory Outreach came and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. And my life has never been the same ever since then. Amen? I thank the Lord because they had courage. I thank the Lord because they were confident. I thank the Lord that they came without any reservations in their hearts, not holding back nothing, and they invited me to a drama, a play. All the way back then, we were still doing dramas and plays. Amen? And I went to that drama at that high school. I saw that drama and I responded. I gave my life to the Lord at that altar call, and my life has never been the same ever since. I was the only one saved at that time in my family. Nobody in my house was saved. Nobody in my family was saved. My mother and father, they had jobs, but there was also some other stuff going on behind the scenes. Come on, somebody. Amen. I was the youngest out of seven of us. But I thank the Lord that these two young men from Victory Outreach came and shared the gospel with me, because my life and my family's life was going to be turned around completely. After a short period of serving the Lord, my mom gave her life to the Lord because she came down with a bad heart, and also she came down with thyroid cancer. But at a Evangelist Philip LaCrue revival, God healed her from thyroid cancer. God healed her from a bad heart. She gave her life to the Lord. We were in the choir together. Come on, somebody. Amen. My mom was a little crazy, man. She packed a .22 pistol in her purse 24/7, 365. And I accidentally got shot. And I repeat, accidentally got, for the record, I accidentally got shot by that gun right here when I was in the third grade. Because I was being nosy. She didn't just go, pam, blast me, amen. But they were putting some guns in the trunk, and I happened to be right there on the side. And when they closed the trunk, the gun went off. I didn't know it went off. I just thought it made a loud noise. The trunk was being slammed. She goes, get out of here. Stop being nosy. So when I turned to walk, I felt like a heat on my leg. So it went like that. And that's when I found out that I got shot. And I got hysterical and cried and yelled and everything else. Ah, you shot me. You shot me. Daddy, mama shot me. All the way to the hospital. That's what you're going to tell them. You're going to tell them you found that gun in the backyard. You picked it up and it went off. Come on, somebody. Man, I experienced some pretty heavy things at a young age, man. And I would just, because of being nosy. Amen? But that's kind of a little bit of my family background. I thank God that she gave her life to the Lord. Holy Ghost filled. Prayer warrior. Amen. And then one of my sisters got saved. Amen. Shortly after that, one of my other sisters got saved. And one of my brothers got saved. And another brother got saved throughout the course of 15, 20 some years later after my salvation. Every single person in our family accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Amen. I had the privilege, one of the highlights of my life, one of the main highlights of my life was baptizing my father in water, who was hardcore to the fullest, a strong, hardcore Mexican man from Mexico, Culiacán, Sinaloa. Come on, somebody. Who was hardcore alcoholic, hardcore smoker. Not that kind of a smoker, smoking cigarettes. Come on, somebody. Amen. And man, we would bring people over to witness to him and share the gospel with them, and they'd walk away scratching their head, saying, man, your dad is a tough cookie. I don't think he'll ever get saved. But lo and behold, he got sick with strokes. Some strokes affected his whole body. What the doctor said, sir, you're going to have to stop drinking and smoking yesterday or you're going to die. And we led him to the Lord. Amen. It affected his speech where he couldn't speak. It affected one of his legs and one of his arms. And he's living there with me in the city of Philadelphia, 79 years old, goes to church faithfully every Sunday, raises his hands and worships God, baptized, washed in the blood, no longer an alcoholic, no longer bound by nicotine, amen, no longer bound by violence, but God delivered him and set him free, amen. Him and my mom helped us in their 60s to come and move to the city of Philadelphia and helped us pioneer, helped us raise our children in the ways of the Lord, amen. My mom went on to be with the Lord a number of years ago. Maybe about four years ago, she went on to be with the Lord. And we brought our father back from California because they had moved back already to they put their work in Philadelphia and they moved back to California. And then when she passed away, we brought our father with us. And he's been living with us ever since. Amen? I share all that to say this, is that it starts with just one person. You might be that one person this morning that has given your life to the Lord and nobody in your family is saved. I want to encourage you to keep on going forward. I want to encourage you to keep coming to church. I want to encourage you to keep praying. I want to encourage you to keep believing, because God is going to use your life as the seed to save the rest of your family. Can you give God a hand of praise this morning? Amen. And this is a church for the entire family. That's why God blessed us with such a beautiful facility as this. We're going to be able to do as much as we can for the kingdom of God in this facility. This is why God opened up the doors for us to be here in this great city, in this great part of the city of Milwaukee, so that we could be that shining light for those that are out there that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I thank the Lord now. We have, me and my wife, we've been married 27 years. Just March the 12th, we celebrated 27. And we also have been pastoring there in the city of Philadelphia for 21 years. Amen. This November, we'll be going into the 22nd. Amen. and we own our church building. We've been launching out churches, amen, there in the East Coast. And now God has blessed us with a large facility where we could be able to establish a base and be able to continue to launch, to equip men and women and families and reach them for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ so that they could be able to get that vision and we can continue to launch out churches throughout the East Coast and missionaries throughout the world. Amen? Why? Because we have a vision. Can somebody say vision? Vision. We have a vision. When you wake up in the morning, that's what drives you. Amen? That's what drives you. It moves you on. Amen? And many of you that have been saved a little while, or those of you that have been saved just a short while, God wants to fill you with that vision. God wants to fill you with that passion. You know, you heard our brother come up here and say that this week coming up, they're going to be taking sign-ups for that class, History and Vision. It is not a coincidence that we're talking about clarity of vision this morning, because many of you are going to get that clear, you're going to get that clear vision in your heart and in your mind, and God is going to begin to raise you up to help to build this work. Amen? And so, here in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, let's go ahead and read. Then he came to Bethesda, and they brought a blind man to him. Somebody say, a blind man. What could a blind man do for Jesus? Come on, somebody. And he begged him to touch him. He begged him to touch him. Verse 23, and so he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, come on, somebody. You spit in somebody's eye today, and there's going to be a fight and a burial. And he put his hands on him, and he asked him if he saw anything besides the spit. No, just kidding. Come on, somebody. It's funny to me a little bit. Amen. He had spit on his eyes and he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and he said, I see men that look like trees walking. How many know he didn't have clear vision? And then he put his hands on his eyes. Somebody say again. He put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and he saw everyone clearly. Amen? He saw everyone clearly. Clarity of vision this morning. Amen? See, sometimes we can see things, but we don't see clearly what God is trying to do within our lives. Amen? Spiritual vision is very important, especially when you're doing the work of the Lord and you're helping to build the work of the Lord next to your pastor. Amen? I want to bring out a word to you this morning, and I believe it's gonna help you and help us. And the word is trifocal. These are not trifocal, okay? But listen to this. I like this word, trifocal. Listen. Trifocals are lenses that have three different powers in one lens. Thus, a lens has three fixed fields of focus. Somebody say focus. And I like these three: near, intermediate, and distance. Near, intermediate, and distance. Amen? I like to share with this morning, trifocal vision, pertaining to our vision of Victory Outreach International and us here. The three are local, regional, and international. Amen? This is the type of vision that this church has. This is a type of vision that's going to continue to be molded. This is the type of vision that we are to have as the Victory Outreach family. Amen? That's why when we go to these international events, the Mighty Men of Valor, the United Women in Ministry retreats and leadership retreats and world conferences, we're able to put on, come on somebody, we're able to put on our spiritual trifocals. Whoa! My God! I can see now, Pastor, what you've been talking about. See, when you go to those international events and when we go, we're able to see the vision in HD quality. Up close. And know that we're not just a church out here in Milwaukee. We're not just a church out there in Philadelphia. But we are a part of a worldwide global ministry for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. And I've had the privilege, my friend, to be able to travel to some of these countries under our UPI, United Prayer International, and also as a young evangelist, and also as a short-term missionary into London, into France, into Spain, into Puerto Rico, into Ireland, Dublin, Ireland, into Australia, into Lagos, Nigeria, into Cape Town, South Africa, into Pretoria, South Africa, into Johannesburg, South Africa, into Mexico, into all these different countries that God has allowed me to go into to see the vision for what it really is, my friend. That's why I can share with you with passion in my heart that we have a trifocal vision. I hope it's not too much for you this morning. Amen. I'm still under the influence from yesterday. But this is a type of ministry. This is why God has blessed us here with the facility that he has blessed us with, so that we can be able to equip young men, so that we can be able to equip couples, so that we can be able to equip missionaries, not only to go throughout the Great Lakes and the Midwest regions and throughout America, but God is going to raise up faithful men and women and couples that are going to come out of this church here in Milwaukee. They're going to say, "Where are you from?" "I'm from Milwaukee." "Where is that?" "It is in the great state of Wisconsin." "That's where it's at." Come on, somebody. Can anybody say Packers this morning? Oh, my God. Come on, somebody. You better come louder than that. Amen. Championship team there. Amen. But God is also raising up a championship church here. Can you give God some praise? Amen. This young man was touched. Something happens, man. Something happens when Jesus prays for you. Who else did Jesus pray for? He prayed for Peter, right? He said, "Man, Peter, the devil, Satan wishes to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail." Amen. Come on, somebody. Jesus is praying for us right now. He's the great intercessor. Amen. Amen? Amen? Spiritual vision is very important. Proverbs 29:18. It says, "Where there is no vision, no revelation, the people cast off restraint, the people perish." Thank God that that's not happening here in Victory Outreach Milwaukee. Amen? We have a vision, and it's right before you, and you see it every time you walk into this church. I've seen it, and I ain't even from here. Amen? I seen it. I see what God wants to do. Can you see what I see? Can you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? Do we want what he wants? That's what he says to us here this morning. Amen? Can you see what he wants to do? Can you hear what he wants to do? That's why we were praying yesterday, so we could be able to hear what he hears and what he wants us to hear, so that we can get busy and start doing what he has called us to do. Amen? Without a vision, people perish. Amen? Romans 1:17 says, "The just shall live by faith." Walking by faith is living by faith. We're in this building by faith. Come on now. Amen. And we're going to continue to operate in these facilities by faith. Amen? by you and I coming together and giving of our tithes and giving of our offerings and giving of our talents and our energy, and we're going to see great things done for the kingdom of God here in this place. Amen? Give him a hand of praise this morning. See, God knows exactly what he's doing. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? We walk by faith and not by sight. But do we truly understand the great significance of this simple verse? Walking by faith requires an understanding of what it means to walk, and also a greater understanding of what faith is. Faith is defined in Hebrews 11:1. Very simple. Amen? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Since faith infers the belief in something that cannot be seen in the natural, somebody say the natural, with our natural eyes, we can conclude that in order to have faith, we must be able to see in the supernatural, spiritual vision. Amen? Somebody say spiritual vision. Once we grab hold of the importance of spiritual vision, we can move toward making our faith more of a reality than what we see in the natural. And when we get to this point, we are truly walking by faith and not by sight. Then, as they did Jesus, signs and wonders will follow us. Amen? That's why it's so important to have clarity of vision, so that we can know where to walk, so we can know how to walk. Amen? How to walk in faith, where to walk in faith. You've walked into this facility by faith. You didn't walk in here through logic. You didn't walk in here through a bankroll of money, but you walked in here through faith. And faith brought you here, and faith is going to keep you here. Faith is going to sustain you here. And it's through this faith that God is going to use you to do great things in your marriage, in your family, with your children, in your health, with your finances. By faith. Can somebody say faith? I hope you get stirred this morning. Amen. We go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Amen? I look at this facility, I look at this place, even as I look at our facility that we're going into, and man, I walked in there the other day before we came up here. I go, man, I can't believe we're in here. The altar, massive altar that we built, spraying all the ceilings, getting the bathrooms ready, getting the classrooms ready, and I'm walking in, I go, wow. God, you're really doing it. Amen? I must have been high when you brought me in here. Now I'm a little bit sober and I'm looking at how is this going to happen. Let me go and get high right away. Not that kind of high, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, but high off of the Word of God, high off of prayer, high off of the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I read a couple of scriptures and I walk back into the building. I go, okay, now I can see what you want to do. Because sometimes, my friend, in the natural gets in the way, and all we can see is our problems. All we can see is our shortcomings. All we can see is our weaknesses. All we can see is that I'm a dollar short and I'm 5 minutes late. Come on, somebody. But man, we got to rise up this morning with the eyes of faith and realize that God knows what he's doing. The just shall live by faith. Can somebody say faith? Faith. Y'all were all fired up yesterday. It was packed out in here. That's a little glimpse of what God can do in this place. Can you give him a hand of praise this morning? See, we're a ministry of faith. We're an apostolic movement. We're an apostolic ministry. We're a people of faith. We're like the book of Acts, and we're going to read some things out of the book of Acts this morning, amen? But we know we're moving in faith, and when we're moving in faith, sometimes people get stuck because they're in the natural still. Amen? I started sharing with our church about going into the facility and doing the things we were doing. Man, some of them were just looking at me, man, did he have too much coffee? Hey, man, is he crazy? We have 3 VETI courses going on throughout the week. 3 classes throughout the week. Amen? What are they trying to do over there? Amen? Because we got a vision. We realizing and coming under the policies and the procedures of our ministry, that we got to send, if we're going to send out churches and we're going to send out men and women, that we got to get them educated with Christian education. That they can't just have zeal and no knowledge. And they can't just have knowledge and no zeal. Both go hand in hand. You got people with a lot of knowledge, but they ain't got no fire in them. And you got people with fire, and they're just running around crazy. What are you doing? I don't know. Jesus. Come on, somebody. You got to have fire. You got to have knowledge on fire. Like Pastor Dow shares, our dean, our Victory Outreach dean, and he's coming to Philadelphia in the end of May. Come on, somebody. Clarity of vision. Let me get back and dignified up here again. Praise the Lord. That's good. Excuse me for my radicalness. No, excuse me. When you're born in a fire, you can't settle for smoke. Amen? Some of you, God is going to put you on fire. People are going to come and watch you burn for Jesus. Amen? Get next to your pastor. Amen? And let's do it, pastor. Let's go for it. God's going to be with us. Amen? This young man's life was revolutionized because Jesus prayed for him. Jesus spit on him. My God. Amen? Can you imagine what people probably thought? What is this guy doing? He just spit in his eye. Amen? But how many know Jesus was using an unconventional style? When Jesus popped up on the scene, he was all unconventional. Amen? He was different. They said, man, he ain't like the other ones. This guy speaks with authority. Come on, somebody. He ain't like these other guys are jiving around over here. This guy speaks with authority. Miracles take place. The supernatural take place. He's not just here speaking philosophy. He's not just here philosophizing with us. But he came with a demonstration of power and miracles. Why? Because he was sent from the Father. He says, I'm not here to do my will, but I'm here to do the will of him who sent me. And I got but a short time to do it. So I got to spit in this guy's eye. Come on, somebody. How many know that man was going to be a man who was touched by God, and he was going to be able to spread the gospel? There was another man that he touched in John, the man with all them demons. Amen? Legion. And that one man, the Bible says that he impacted 9 cities because Jesus came to his neighborhood and touched his life. The list goes on and on. I can share with you story after story. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood who was touched. In fact, she touched him. Amen. Touched by the master's presence. Amen. Story after story of people that were touched by Jesus, that Jesus touched their lives. Those little children that he blessed, their lives were never going to be the same anymore. Just like your life is never going to be the same anymore. Just like my life is not going to be the same anymore. Why? Because of Jesus. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Now go with me to Acts. The book of Acts. Chapter 1. When you get it, you can say amen. You see, seeing and vision is revelation. Amen?
a revealing. Not so you can just say, oh, I seen that. No, we get revelation so that we can get transformation. Did you get that? Amen? Not just to see it, go, oh, I seen that. Oh, yeah, I heard that. No, so that we can become transformed by the Spirit of God. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 1. Look what he says in verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all, look at, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. What did we share in the beginning? Trifocal. Amen? Local, regionally, and internationally. We have a trifocal vision in Victory Outreach. And it comes from the Bible. It comes right here even through Jesus saying and sharing with his disciples and telling them, you're going to be my witnesses, but something first has to happen. You guys got to receive the power from on high that I have been coaching you about and speaking to you about my Holy Spirit, about how I told you guys I had to leave so that he can come, so that he can fill you, so that he can move through your life. Amen? And because of their obedience, as we read on in verse 12, as they were in the upper room in prayer, just like we were in the upper room in prayer yesterday. Amen. When prayer begins to come upon our lives and we begin to pray and we begin to seek the Lord, then we are inviting in the supernatural power of God, and God steps in and God fills us. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see the result of waiting on God, as Pastor Nick shared yesterday. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit, having clarity of vision to do the will of God. Then we see an outpouring of God's Spirit, which he is wanting to do here in your city, which he is wanting to do here in your church, because there's a people that have been praying. Amen? It's prayer. God showed me this. He showed me this, and about our church, he goes, Titus, you got to keep your people under the influence of prayer. Otherwise, they're not going to know how to react. They're not going to know how to act. You got to keep them under the spirit of prayer. See, as soon as you come from under the spirit of prayer and you're not praying, you know what happens? You begin to think in the natural. You begin to just look at everything as a problem. You begin to just be negative and negative and negative and critical and judgmental. Amen? You look at things, go, oh man, well, what about this? And what about that? And they don't do this right. And they don't do that right. That is a perfect example of somebody that doesn't pray. Because you'll be able to see the positive in every situation when you're a man and you're a woman of prayer. Okay, maybe this song wasn't sung right, or maybe this didn't happen, but okay, I understand that, we'll work on that, but look at the result. People are getting broken. People are getting saved. Come on, somebody. Amen. Look who God used. He used Big Mouth Peter. He used Peter, the one who turned his back on the Lord 3 times. Where was John the Beloved? Who was always right there with Jesus and chilling with Jesus and being with Jesus. I want to know where John the Beloved was during this time. But you know who God used? Big Mouth Peter. Amen? Over-opinionated Peter. Amen? I wonder if there's any Peters in the house. Don't raise your hand. Amen? Never underestimate who God can use. Amen? He used Peter. Amen? Now go over here. We're getting ready to come in for a landing. A couple more things. Acts chapter 16. See, Jesus saw the importance of them praying because prayer was going to give them clarity of vision. That's why when he prayed for the blind man, he didn't see everything too clearly, so he prayed for him again. Sometimes we got to pray for people over and over until they get it, until they catch it. But provide an atmosphere where they can come and seek the Lord, and God's Holy Spirit can do a whole lot better of a job than we can. Amen? That's why I was sharing. My goal is to get people hooked on the presence of God. Get them hooked in prayer. Amen? Because if I can get them hooked in prayer, that's going to save me a whole lot of time. Because they're going to connect with the main connection. They're not going to come through the middleman. Amen? They're going to connect with the main connection. They're going to connect with the shock caller of all shock callers. And God the Holy Ghost is going to touch them. God the Holy Ghost is going to fill them. God the Holy Ghost is going to give them experience that they need that a pep talk can't give. Amen? Prayer. Amen? Look what happens here in Acts 16. Now we're talking with the clarity of vision and the trifocal vision of near, amen, of here, regionally, and internationally. There's a young man here that we're going to talk about real quick, Timothy. Verse 1, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium, that region. Paul wanted to have him go with him. So he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. How many know Timothy was not 8 days old? Come on, somebody. For they all knew that his father was Greek. Nowhere does it say that his father was saved. And as they went through the cities, somebody say the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. And this was the product of that. Verse 5. So the churches were what? They were strengthened in what? In the faith, and they what? How? In numbers daily. Results took place. Amen? Results took place. People's lives were encouraged. Amen? See, Paul saw that it wasn't just a local vision. It was an international vision that Jesus had given for all peoples, from all walks of life. Amen? It wasn't just for the Jew. It was for everyone. Amen? It was for all nationalities. It was for all creeds. It was for all peoples, from all backgrounds. Amen? Come on now. Just like with us, with Victory Outreach International. I came in the early 80s, 82. Amen. I gave my life to the Lord in 82 when Victory Outreach. We just had a handful of churches, and we pretty much only had maybe one predominant race that they were reaching. We were reaching. But now, my friend, we have people from all walks of life. Amen. We have people of all nationalities, of all economical backgrounds, of all educational backgrounds. Next week, I'm going to be going to Phoenix School of Law to see one of my spiritual daughters graduate from law school, who came into our church as a young little girl. Amen? And now she's going to be our lawyer. We have some other young people that came into our church are graduating LaSalle University. They're graduating from different universities, amen? And now are plugged into our church, that are taking ownership of the vision, that are helping us to build the church even stronger. Because why? We are called to reach out to an entire world, not just one type of people. Different age groups. Single and married. Amen? What our ministry has evolved into today. Amen? Local, national, and international. Amen? God used Timothy. He was a young man. And Paul saw the potential in his life. He said, I could use a young man like this. Amen? But is he willing to go through the process? Come on, somebody. And he was willing to go through the process, and because of that, he became part of the emissary team, the missionary team. And they were able to go impact cities for the glory of God and encourage so many different people. Amen? And then you see later on, we don't have the time to share this morning, but when you study the life of Timothy, you see that later on, he becomes one of the main guys, one of Paul's main men that takes over the church of Ephesus, one of the greatest churches there of the early church. And we find the letters 1st and 2nd Timothy, Paul's last will and testament. And he begins to impart to his disciple, Timothy. Who would have ever thought in Acts 16 that this young, frail young man, Timothy, who loved God, who was willing, would he would be the one that Paul would be handing off the baton of his ministry to? You might think right now that you're just doing a few things in the church. You might think right now, well, I'm just being a greeter and I'm just being an usher and I'm just working in the children's department, or I'm just right here, you know, helping with the worship or setting up or tearing down or in the parking lot or doing little errands here and there, well, you know, for the pastor or for the church. But it's in those times that God is molding you, that God is shaping you, that God is building you, because one day you're going to take a city, my friend, because that's what your pastor did for his pastor. That's what I did for my pastor and the pastors that I served under. And now we're here taking cities for the glory of God. Can you give God some praise this morning? I'm talking about clarity of vision. We move. In Acts 13, I'm going to ask the worship team to make their way. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 says, now, in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, come on somebody, as they prayed and as they fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Amen? Then having fasted and prayed, and they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And they began to do the work of the Lord. And then that's what it leads into Acts chapter 16 that I just read. Should have read this verse first. Well, that's what leads us to Acts 16, where he recruited Timothy. I can use this young man. We can use that man over there. We can use that couple over there. They've been faithful. Good testimony. Cooperative spirit. We can use that person. We can use that one too. How about this one? Yeah, that one too. How about this guy? He's willing. Bring him along. God is looking for a willing vessel. He's not looking for a perfect person. He's just looking for a person that will be willing to say, God, if you could use anything, God, here's my life. I don't have much to offer you, God. But Lord, here I am. Use me however you would choose to use my life. My friend, I said that to God at the age of 16 years old. With no purpose for living. I didn't think I would reach the age of 21 years old. Oh, but I thank the Lord that somebody came to my neighborhood and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. And my life has never been the same ever since. And I still get touched when I think about it. Because I didn't see myself accomplishing too much. Oh, but I thank the Lord for that man of God, for that mentor, for that person that looked and saw something inside of me that I couldn't see myself. And here I am today in this city,
preaching this message to you, that if God could do it for me, if he could do it for your pastor, he can surely do it for you. But you got to get this out of the way and give him your heart and believe by faith that he can use your life. He can do it. I have three sons. One of my sons is now pastoring in the great city of Baltimore, Maryland. In the hardcore streets of Baltimore. My firstborn son. One of my other sons is helping me with our young people. My youngest son is a musician.